Hey, everybody, what's going on? Before we jump into the episode, I have some information you should know about. The Tedeschi Trucks Band, featuring Trey Anastasio, have released Layla Revisited live at Lockin, a complete live performance recording of the seminal masterwork that has been integral to their musical foundation. I was at this show. It was incredible. The album captures TTB at their incendiary best. The band's collaboration with Phish's renowned guitarist, vocalist Trey Anastasio was a highly anticipated performance of the four-day music festival, Lockin, that is held annually in Arrington, Virginia. One listen, and it's clear that their surprise performance that night, which also included close TTB collaborator, guitarist, and songwriter Doyle Bramhall II, it meant something extra special to both the musicians and the astonished fans who were lucky enough to experience it, like yours truly. Like I said, I was there. I'm not trying to brag, but I was. Listen now, wherever you get your music, it's incredible. Derek and the Dominoes, Layla, Trey, Derek, Susan, Doyle, listen, it's amazing. Hey y'all, I got one more ad read for you, and it's a good one. Our boy Andy Frasco and his band The UN are on tour this fall. Andy Frasco and The UN are hitting the road this fall, traversing the country for a string of 43 tour dates in support of their new single, Dancing Around My Grave. The track features Susto and Doom Flamingo, and while it focuses its gaze on death, it evokes an appreciation of life. Said Andy, I wanted to write a song about how if I die young, please don't let my parents plan my funeral. I want a big party, a big parade. I don't want death to be mourned about. We should celebrate the time we had with each other. Catch the band this fall in a city near you. Tickets for the tour are on sale now. Head on over to andyfrasco.com. See you there. Hello and welcome to 3 from the 7, Relix's weekly news podcast, chronicling 3 of your biggest news stories from the last 7 days. What's up, everybody? I am Rafaela Kenny-Sincotta. I am the associate editor at Relix Magazine, and I am joined by the one and only, my true pal, ladies and gentlemen, bassist extraordinaire, Karina Reichman.
Raph, you're my true pal too, pal. Hi.
What's going on?
Good to hear your voice. Everything's good.
Yeah, it's good to hear your voice too. I know we took off last week kind of unexpectedly because you were traveling like crazy. I was traveling like crazy. Sometimes life gets in the way.
I'll tell you, Raph, I was in the Boston airport looking for one of those little, compartments that are meant for women to breastfeed their children in private.
Yes.
If I could have found one, I would have done the pod from there.
Oh my God.
I was on a layover. It wasn't working out, you know? It just wasn't working out. You only have Monday or Tuesday to get this news fresh to you. For the recording, you know, and
it's
then
true.
We get it out to you on Wednesday. It was a whole to do, but thank you for bearing with us. And thank you for bearing with me, Raph. That was, it was a travel day and a half, shall we say. So
no, absolutely.
And the day before, forget it.
It aligned perfectly with my birthday where Karina was kind of like, I don't know if I can make it happen this week. And I was just like actively like about to like meet up with someone for my birthday. And I'm just like, okay, that's cool. it's like I didn't, you know, we were both doing our thing. So it's okay. And now we're back together and we have a lot to talk about. And I'm going to dedicate all 3 stories this week to kind of a stew, if you will, Karina, of Rolling Stones information and Rolling Stones memorials for the one and only Charlie Watts, who passed away last week. Of course, a phenomenal drummer. Rolling Stone is dead, Karina. Like, I remember when I heard, it was funny, I was listening to the classic rock radio out here on Long Island, where my mother lives, and it was like there was a moment where they were just like, a Rolling Stone has died. And I was just like, damn, you know, these older guys in our scene are only getting older, and it's crazy when a titan of rock and roll finally lays down his sword.
I agree. And it's painful. It's painful. Rolling Stones aren't supposed to die. You know, it's a hard thing. It's a hard pill to swallow. And he really was, you know, the backbeat of it all.
Well, it's funny, too, because I was talking to my boyfriend about it. And it was like, you know, Charlie was 80 years old. He had actually kind of like started ducking out of the Stones' upcoming tour dates. His health was kind of up in the air because he had this surgery. You know, he had come out with a statement saying he was, quote, unlikely to be available for the Stones, you know, tour dates whenever those happen to happen. So his health was kind of up in the air. But, you know, my boyfriend had said, like, you know, it's crazy. Like, Rolling Stones don't really go out that way. You know, like, you don't expect a crazy rock star to die of old age. You know, like, Keith Richards is going to go out in like a fucking blaze of fire no matter what. I mean, I hope, you know, 100 years from now. And when after World War III, when this planet is nothing but ash, Keith Richards will still be standing. But you don't expect a Rolling Stone to go out in that fashion, you know.
You really don't. You really don't. And, you know, touching on what you just said about, you know, the statement before his passing, you know, I think it's, you know, they basically announced before Charlie passed that they will continue to tour as the Rolling Stones with a replacement for Charlie, which I was, you know, taken aback by, but also sort of unsurprised by, but also upset by, but also, you know, I have a million conflicting feelings about this because I get it. You know, the name, the Rolling Stones, I mean, it's larger than the sum of their parts, you know, in all these ways. But, you know, you think about a band like that going on without the same guys, and it's just not going to be the same. You can hire the greatest drummer on the planet. They're not Charlie Watts. You know what I mean? It's just not, musicians have their specific flavors, right? Yeah. And like we all have them. We all, like, you know, if you play music, you have your flavor, you have your touch, whether it's, you know, virtuosic or not. And he had his, clearly, obviously. And, you know, you can't really replace that. But I get it. The touring juggernaut of the Stones is, you know, to the surviving members, and I'm sure all of their management and all of that, like, it's, you know, they're keeping it going. And of course, you know, there's a lot of money on the line if they do and whatnot. And I get it on some level, but it kind of hurts to think that they're going to play without Charlie. I'm not going to lie to you, even before his unfortunate passing. So I don't know. What do you make of that, Raph? Like, could you picture, you know, we talk about Fish on the show quite a bit. Could you picture a member of Fish passing and them replacing that person and continuing to tour as Fish? I really just can't. I can't picture it.
I mean, it's tough. I know Fish in particular. I can't remember who exactly has said it, but one of the guys in the band has said that, like, these four dudes are Fish and they'll never be anything else. So I could see if a member of Fish, you know, knock on wood, God forbid, 300 years from now, a member of Fish, you know, fades into the ether, I could see like a new band coming out of it. I could see like a Ghosts of the Forest or something like that. That might like play Fish material, but like moves on, like doesn't fully ever fly that flag. I mean, I feel like not unlike the Grateful Dead, right? Like when Jerry died, I mean, they never performed under the banner of the Grateful Dead ever again, but did they play as Dead and Company, The Dead, you know, Bob Weir and Rat Dog, Phil Lesh and Friends, all of these kind of spinoff things that carry the songbook, but don't necessarily fly that banner anymore. I mean, I talk about this all the time with like my, you know, friends who are like diehard Deadheads of like, I'm not necessarily like a huge Rolling Stones fan. Like I love, respect, crank their tunes on the regular, but like, you know, like I live and die for the Grateful Dead. I live and die for Fish to like a slightly lesser extent. So like when a member of the Grateful Dead passes in my lifetime, I'm going to be like wrecked, like fully. I know it. Like I'll be like mourning a family member. And I totally feel for anyone who's a Rolling Stones fan, because I'm sure it must feel the same way.
Certainly. It's not easy. It's not easy. And it's hard to imagine sort of these larger than life bands that mean so much to us in our lives, you know, and everything that they've touched, you know, kind of continuing on without all of their needed ingredients, you know? And that's just, I think that's a testament to the human spirit and human individuality. You know what I mean? Like, you know, it's not about finding the most proficient drummer to replace Charlie Watts. It's not about finding, you know, the person who could play all the parts perfectly to continue. Like, to me, it's about your personhood that you show through your instrument. That's just a channel that, you know, channels your essence, God willing. And that's exactly what these Stones records, you know, do for each of the gentlemen in the band. That everyone is showcased and everyone's personality comes through via their channel. And it's an amazing thing. And, you know, the way Charlie's did, and of course he's the, when we say he's the backbeat of the band, you know, we mean it literally, but it's really true. And without that touch, it's a whole other band. And drummers specifically, man, I mean, you know, losing a drummer, the drummer's 50% of any band, if not more, you know, already. And
drummers tend to get the most fun poked at them, don't you think? Like, there's no bassist jokes, but there's plenty of drummer jokes.
Oh, there are so many bassist jokes. Oh, sister, I wish you could live a day as a bass player.
Tell me a bassist joke.
Oh, you know, like everybody's always joking about how the bassist doesn't get the girls and like, you know, you have to fuck the bass player. You know what I mean? Like, that's the whole thing. I know. Not me. I'm a lady. I don't get, I don't even know. I get
taken,
it.
So.
I get all kinds of weird shit, but nothing like that. I just get, hey, Katrina, you know who you remind me of? Tina Weymouth. You really remind me of her. I'm like, I wonder why. Anyway, how many bases does it take to change a light bulb? You know, anyway, maybe just living as one gets that. But I do agree. I think the drummers get the shaft a lot, you know, and drummers, you know, as obviously at a lower level, you know, it's tough because you have to lug around such an annoying, you know, instrument to transport. You know what I mean? It's way more annoying to carry around drum shells and drum hardware. Oh my God. Than amps, you know, and amps suck to take around, but like drums, dude, it's just annoying. So you're just like constantly loading them in and loading them out and breaking them down. And fucking, it's like a whole to do. It's so physical. You know, if you stop practicing as a drummer, like it's like muscular. It's like being an athlete, you know, way more than it is for me as a bass player, like on a thousand levels.
You hear so many stories about drummers who are just like physically wrecked. And I mean, that's like also the idea of like, you know, Charlie Watts. Like Charlie Watts was like putting his body on the line every night. You know what I mean? Like
100%.
Like I'm trying to think, like Phil Collins is one. Like there's a couple of drummers that are just like physically messed up from being like a professional drummer. I mean, didn't Joe Russo like just get surgery or something?
Yeah. I mean, I believe he got shoulder surgery a while ago. And you know, drummers get this thing where it's not carpal tunnel goes down from, I believe, your middle finger and your ring finger, like down your arm, like that shoots up the nerve. But this is some other thing, and I forget what it's called, but my drummer has it. And it's like, it affects like from your ring finger and your pinky finger down. Up your arm and into your nervous system and whatnot. And you can get it also from like bike riding, any sort of like repetitive motion like that, where you're like shaking in that way. And it sucks. And, you know, it just causes numbness and all this bad shit. And like a lot of drummers have to get a specific surgery to like move this nerve that runs underneath your elbow to shift it to the side. So it doesn't, you know, bother them anymore. It's a whole lifestyle, man, and I respect it so much. And drummers carry the band on their shoulders, whether we will admit it or not, but I'm here to admit it right now. You know, and I think they deserve more love and respect. So respect to our man Charlie Watts. We are dedicating this episode to you. But actually, before we dive even further into you, let's talk about another musician that went, you know, too soon. Even though, I mean, you know, he was 84, I believe. Lee Scratch Perry passed yesterday, which is a tough, tough break. And, you know, I feel extremely fortunate I got to see him play live on numerous occasions. And I got to see Charlie, too, which was incredible. And, you know, I'm glad to be touched by both of their greatness in my lifetime. But Lee Scratch, I mean, he defined a whole new way of modern music production. And it's unbelievable. He was the master of the Space Echo. He did it all, and he was a real disruptor. You know, he did it his way, and he invented a whole new style that's been emulated for years and years and years to come. And I think will continue to be emulated, to be honest. And he's incredible. And I don't know. We got to tip our hat to the legends, Raph. You're right. They're just, it's amazing that we were able to be on this earth with such heavyweights.
Yeah.
You know,
incredible. Totally.
It's incredible. It's incredible. And I dug up a video of me, freshly 21, at the Brooklyn Bowl, dancing on stage with Lee Scratch Perry.
No way.
Which is an unbelievable piece of footage that I will share with you, Raph.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. And
you don't have to post it publicly, but it would be cool if you did.
I might have snuck it in on Twitter, which is my least popular social channel. So if you
she tested the waters of social media. She put it on Twitter.
I test the waters on Twitter. You know, it's kind of where I get away with all my weirdness.
So, but yes, I'm great. So glad that we mentioned Lee Scratch Perry as well, who passed away, I guess, yesterday, the 29th. The Sunday, and then Charlie passed away on the 24th, which is actually my birthday, which is funny enough. Literally on my birthday, I was like, a Rolling Stone just died. BRB. Let me pop open my laptop really quick.
Painful.
But,
yeah.
But the cool thing is, hopefully, we'll see a lot of Lee Scratch Perry tributes in the coming days. And we also saw, you know, going back to Charlie, we saw a bunch of tributes to the Rolling Stones and to Charlie. So I'm going to kind of run through a bunch of stuff that happened this week, news-wise, for our setlist statisticians out there. Just talk about how it's cool how the influence of the Rolling Stones has rippled through our scene. And everybody wanted to get a chance to just kind of like tip a cap to Charlie and to the rest of the members of the Rolling Stones who lost a friend. So Government Mule on August 25th in Salt Lake City played Honky Tonk Woman. That's a bop, no doubt. DMB on August 25th, Dave Matthews Band played a mid-set debut of I Can't Get No Satisfaction, another bop, a classic, but you know, bit boilerplate, but at a Dave show, I'm sure the people were grooving. Dead & Company, this is probably my favorite one, Dead & Company on August 25th, they were playing Darien Lake, and they played, what did they play? Hold on one second. I wrote down where and when, but I didn't write down what song it was. Hold on. Hold on. The last time they played.
There you go. Nice. There you go.
1965 is the last cut. They played it while a simultaneous, like, steal your face with the Rolling Stones tongue was projected overhead. Super duper cool.
That's great.
Yeah, super awesome. And John Mayer even shared his own little memory of Charlie saying, economy of motion, epitome of cool. Rest in peace, Charlie Watts, which is super cool. Charlie was a cool customer, if there's anything. Moving right along, Margot Price played at the Railbird Festival in Kentucky and played the Sticky Fingers cut Dead Flowers and said, we love you, Charlie, at the end of her set. And then finally, our friends Fish, the Vermont Quartet, played the Gorge this weekend in Washington State. They opened night one with Torn and Frayed and then closed the run with Shine a Light, which they play a lot, but definitely it was cool for them to bookend the show, or bookend the run back, you know, Friday to Sunday with Stones tunes. So, needless to say, lots of Stones love all through the scene. Everybody loves Charlie. And Karina, this actually kind of segues into a question I wanted to ask you. If you were going to do like a little mid-set tribute, what Stones song would you play?
Oh, man. Well, you know, Raph, I was actually just about to ask you if you had a gun to your head what your favorite Rolling Stones song would be.
Beast of Burden, for sure.
Beast of Burden. I mean, God, what a song. And it's so, you know, it's so hard to pick, you know. And I think I would answer your question with, you know, I think I would play one of the, like, you know, I'd either play like Rocks Off, or I'd play She's So Cold, or like, you know, something a little more kind of rocking, if you know what I'm saying. But I think if gun to my head, Tumbling Dice might be the song for me.
It's a bop,
man. Tumbling Dice.
Ooh, you know what I might do? I might do Wild Horses. I'm going for the slow ones. Wild Horses.
Yeah, those are, I'm crying. You know what? No, sorry. Oh my God. The cover, mid-set cover, I feel like I could really own Shattered. Ooh. Shattered would be great for me. That would be really excellent. And I don't know. I mean, all the records have a spot in my heart. Monkey Man kills me. I could never cover it. I would do a terrible job, but that's one of my favorites.
You know what's, go ahead.
No, it's all good. To me, just recently I had a moment with Some Girls, the record that, ooh, like, I don't know. And of course that opens with Miss You. The disco bop, which would be an obvious choice to cover, because it's, you know, a little more danceable and all that, and that would be cool. But that's got Shattered on it. It's got Respectable on it. It's like, oh, it's so banging. When the Whip Comes Down, kills. I would play that in a heartbeat. Oh my God. Too many records, man.
Yeah, you don't realize how many. I mean, you do realize that, like, the Rolling Stones are just so legendary, and I feel like they're like Beatles level, where it's just like you don't even realize how fucking incredible this band is just because they're just like in the fucking pantheon of rock and roll. You know what I mean?
Oh my God. So and like, with a discography to, you know, shake a stick at. That's why it's like, you know, when you go see them, it's unfortunate that, like, you know, you go, you see them play Start Me Up, you see them play Paint It Black, you see them play Satisfaction and Honky Tonk Women, all these tunes, but like, they have such a catalog that they could be digging so deep into, you know? And it's like, it's incredible. And it's hard because, of course, the set, you know, you keep getting older, but the set, and you keep amassing more records, but the set doesn't get any longer. Yeah. You know, and there's only so much time that you can take. And of course, you've written these songs that are the songs of our lives in such a, you know, more mainstream and less niche way than the other bands that we listen to, you know? And it's like people come from across the globe to get a little taste of it when you go and see the Stones. I mean, they gouge crossover for prices.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's exactly what you're saying, which is like, you know, seeing a Rolling Stone show is like seeing Paul McCartney, like seeing Billy Joel, like seeing any of these like absolute like top tier rockers, because they have crossover appeal. It's like seeing the Eagles or something. You know what I mean? Like, 100%. Obviously the Eagles to a lesser extent, but like it is like your mom listens to, you know, and I mean like the, you know, proverbial your mom, like anyone's mother knows Start Me Up. You know what I mean? Or, you know, 100%. Sympathy for the Devil, whatever. But I actually did want to also mention, like you had mentioned, like my favorite Rolling Stones song, but also to get like really music nerdy is like, what's your favorite cover of a Rolling Stones song? And Blind Faith playing Under My Thumb in 1969 at Hyde Park. If you have not heard Stevie Winwood sing this song, you have not heard the song. And I implore anyone to listen to it. Karina, I'm going to send you the YouTube link if you're not familiar.
I believe it or not, like, because I had such a sick Blind Faith obsession in high school. Mm-hmm. And like I have seen that. And I used to watch that like my plane was going down.
Yeah, dude.
That is so great.
It lived on YouTube for the longest time. And they finally, like this year, put it on Spotify. Incredible. Absolutely.
I haven't heard it on Spotify. I literally used to watch the, you know, the YouTube, like there's that incredible concert where they're playing, you know, all the tunes, Presence of the Lord, Had to Cry Today, you know, Do What You Like, you know, the 16 minute jam.
That's Ginger Baker that's like the one Ginger Baker tune on that Blind Faith record. And they were like, all right, Ginger, like, sure. Like we can go,
like, go ahead.
15 fucking minutes. That's mostly you know, felt out drum solo. I don't know how this turned into a Blind Faith conversation, but I love it.
Yeah, sorry. We love classic rock, guys. We just love it. This is good. All that is to say, it's really hard when you've written literally some of the most synced, you know, music, the songs that you hear in the grocery store, in the car, on classic rock radio, in movies, in television, whatever it is. You're the Rolling motherfucking Stones. How on earth are you going to write your set lists? You know what I mean? Like, you only have so much time on stage. It shatters my mind to think, it shatters my mind to, like, how are you going to put that together? And how could you dig that deep when you have all these songs that people are paying arms and legs to hear, you know, by and large. And you know it. And you know that, you know?
And it's funny, too, because I feel like, you know, RIP Jazz Fest, when it does finally come back, like the Stones were going to play Jazz Fest, and I feel like that would have been their opportunity to play some deep cuts. I mean, like, no doubt they try and toss in the deep cuts here and there, but I feel like if there's any crowd that wants to hear like the ins and outs and odds and ends, I feel like a Jazz Fest crowd would be the one, rather than like, you know, an MSG, a Wembley, any of these huge stadiums. Do you agree?
So true. I couldn't agree more. And honestly, like, you know, and for the record, I know we're getting tangential here, but let us bow our heads for one moment and say a prayer for the city of New Orleans and, you know, the state of Louisiana and all that are affected by Hurricane Ida. It is rough stuff down there. And
so crazy. On the 16th anniversary of Katrina. It's like a fucking movie. Like, can you believe
it? So rough, man. Not to get too dark. We're just talking about, you know, dead rock stars and floods here, but, you know, it's...
And we haven't even touched on the pandemic, Karina. I avoided it.
We're avoiding it like the plague. Uh-oh. I know. But for real, we send our love down to the city of New Orleans, the greatest music city in the country, the only city that is defined by its culture in the United States. I will stand by that. I will die on this sword. defending that. And, you know, friends, family, musicians, all of, you know, our loved ones, your loved ones, you know, try and get in touch. I have friends you can't get in touch with because the cell towers are down, the power's out. And you literally, they don't know when it's going to be reinstated. So that is painful stuff. If you can get a hold of your friends, get a hold of your family, get a hold of everybody, tell them that we hear it for 3 from the 7, send them our best. And we really do. I'm not being facetious. You know, WWOZ is down. The New Orleans radio station is unbelievable, which I listen to constantly. That never goes down. Like, it's tough, crazy. Man.
I really was kind of tracking it last night, and there was a moment where, like, the entire city lost power at the same exact time. And I feel that's so chilling. You know what I mean? Like, the fact that, you know, the entire major New York City is just lights out is you know, deeply, you know, chilling. So love to the city of New Orleans. I feel like we're constantly, you know, if there's any city that can take it on the chin, bounce back, and, you know, have a great time, you know, in spite of the hardships they've faced, it's New Orleans. And we send all of them all of the love. We send the Rolling Stones all of the love. We send you all of the love, our dear listener. And Karina, I send you love. I don't know the next time you and me will be face-to-face having a good time, but I enjoy our chats every week. I certainly do.
Oh, you and me both, Raf. Don't say it like that. You never know what's going to happen. Maybe I'll just pop up on your doorstep and you'll be like, oh, great.
I have offered Karina when I'm back on the West Coast. Karina is going to roll through. And I'm like, dude, you and your band, you need a place to crash. Come on through to, I'm not going to say the address, but.
Yeah, don't do it.
The place I chill in San Francisco with my boyfriend. It will be a great time. And then I was going to say, see you at Bonnaroo, Karina, but you will not be attending because you've got your own, you know, your own shiz going on. But I will be at Bonnaroo. And I wanted to quickly mention that I'll be working on the Bonnaroo Beacon, the official newspaper of Bonnaroo, which is, you know, longstanding. And if you would not want to be featured in the Bonnaroo Beacon, we're collecting photos from social media. So if you're down at Rue, you can use the hashtag Bonnaroo Beacon or hashtag Bon Beacon, and we'll use your photo in the newspaper. It's a super cool opportunity to, you know, have your face in the paper, which is really cool. And then if you come on down to the Relics booth, too, if you're down at Bonnaroo, I will be there. I will be, you know, with my Purell and socially distanced, and, you know, I'll give you a what up. But yeah, roll through, say hi. Let's get the community back together. This will be my first, like, big music event basically since COVID. So I am nervous but excited. So come on down. And then Karina, what's going on in your life that the people should know about?
Oh, baby. Well, first of all, I'm thrilled that you're working on the Bonnaroo Beacon. That's a huge, awesome thing, Raph.
Yeah,
come
dude.
On, I'm quelling. You're making me quell for you from afar. It's unbelievable. Congrats, and have the best time down there. Is that this weekend?
Yeah, no. I leave. We're recording this on Monday. I leave for Rue on Wednesday. And then I'm writing the paper Thursday night. So the Friday cover story will be me. Written
by
me.
Oh my God.
And then I'm actually going to jet. I'm going to try and beat the traffic and like jet on Sunday. But I'll still see like Lizzo and Incubus and Foo Fighters and My Morning Jacket and all of this other fun stuff. So I'm very excited.
That's going to be incredible. I'm so excited for you. Enjoy. Like, that's like a magnitude of an event that I can't even process. It's amazing.
Yeah. Do you like how I said Lizzo and Incubus first?
Yeah, I did. I did, actually.
Genuinely stoked about Incubus. Like, genuinely.
You should be. Oh, you should be. It's going to be great. Oh, my God. What's going on in my life? I am playing in Portland, Maine this weekend at a beautiful outdoor concert venue called Thompson's Point. And I am supporting Ghost of Paul Revere, Deer Tick, and the Mallet Brothers. And that is going to be fun as hell. And I'm looking forward to that. And then... It's weekend warrior stuff for your girl me from here on out, Raph. The following weekend, I play in Atlanta with Marco. The following weekend, I play in New Brunswick with Marco, God willing. Then it's Brooklyn Comes Alive, and then another Marco festival somewhere, and God knows what happens after that. But you're looking at what they may call a weekend warrior, Raph. I will be walking the streets of New York City during the week, and... jet setting to play concerts on the weekend, which is exactly the lifestyle I imagined for myself. So this is very, very exciting for me. And I love weekend stuff. I think that's so fun.
She's Just living the dream. You're living the dream, KR, and I'm very happy.
That's the vibe.
Thank you. I'm excited to talk to you next week, and I'm excited for all of you, our dear listeners, to tune in once again. Follow us on Instagram at 3 from the 7. Email us raffandkarina@gmail.com. Someone actually emailed me, and because we missed last week, was like, oh, where'd you guys go? And I'm like, very flattered that there are ears on the other side of this microphone. So we very much appreciate it. 3 from the 7 is brought to you by Relics Media Group. Our producer is Will Schwerd. Our audio engineer is Sam Lazarev. Everybody take care of yourself. Karina, love you like a sister. And everybody have a great week.
Take care. Love you too. Bye.
Bye.